You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Houston, we are continuing the summer circuit brought to you in part by LafayetteTravel.com. This week at Over Under Sports Bar, located at 1416 FM 528 Road in Webster on Thursday from 1 to 7 p.m. Come register to win the 1300 Timberline Wood Pellet Grill and for the two-day stay in Lafayette, Louisiana. If you can't make it Thursday, you have another chance to see the Press Box and the Blitz for AJ's final show. Aw, on Friday at Carback Brewery. We'll be there Friday for our summer circuit from 1 to 7 p.m. at 2032 Carbach Street. Come see us on Thursday at Over Under Sports Bar and at Carbach Brewery on Friday.
Aw. Aw. That's cute.
AJ's final show.
To clarify, Deshaun's cap hit this year is 15 and next year is 40. It's funny how that thing, the dead cap, according to SpotTrack, his dead cap this year is $75 million. But that's not what happens if you trade him. And then $67 million next year. So it's going to be amazing to see how the Texans are able to finagle through this thing and get what they want. Like you said, there are going to be more suitors next year. There will be more suitors than there are right now. Plus, you'll have a lot more clarity. But you're going to have to sit. Yeah. Okay, so honestly, if you're the Texans today, the NFL doesn't act. The NFL doesn't put them on the exempt list. You're Caserio. You're Cal. You're Easterby. Right now, you have an emergency meeting. They had to know that this was a possibility.
You don't.
How do you act?
You don't panic. Good teams don't panic. They stay the course. They follow the process. The process should be, this is our end goal. Now, if Team A wants to give us what we want, then at any point, move Deshaun Watson. Doesn't matter. You're as long as you hit your end goal. There is going to be gold at the end of the rainbow. There's going to be a pot of gold. You're just going to have to, well, the pot of gold could potentially be gold if you draft well, which is going to be its own problem.
So in the meantime, Tyrod Taylor gets the first team snaps, right?
Mm-hmm.
Jeff Driscoll gets second, or Davis Mills gets second.
Sure.
And then Deshaun just stands there the whole time?
You just don't even put him in practice.
Yeah.
He doesn't want to play. Why? He just sits at practice.
And if he all of the guys that, on the team that know him, that have played with him, that believe he's, you know, one of the best quarterbacks in the league, this is something that everybody's going to have to sit through throughout every day of training camp?
Yeah, but eventually it's going to, yeah, oh well. I mean, what? Is it going to make you a worse team? Great. I want to be as bad as possible. You really want to know
the truth. I know that, but those guys don't.
Well,
and oh, by the way, there's a lot of guys. So how is Deshaun looked at? Because Trevor Bauer is a persona non grata. Apparently, there's a lot of Dodgers that do not want to see him back on the team.
That's not Deshaun.
No, that's not Deshaun. It's a different situation. But how do guys go about this now? Talk about a distraction every day. Hey, Deshaun's sitting over there while Tyrod Taylor is getting all the snaps. Hey, what do you think about the Deshaun situation?
If I'm the Texans, I mean, if they cave and don't take enough because they don't like it uncomfortable, then they got the wrong people in the job. They need the right people in the job. That includes Nick Caserio or anyone else. You wait to get the most value you can for that house.
Well, I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about day in, day out, Deshaun out there, distraction.
Does he strike you as a distraction guy?
Is Deshaun a distraction guy?
Nick Pelissero said that he was very respectful in his – not Nick Pelissero. Tom Pelissero said in his report, and I'll pull it up here.
Well, distraction comes from the media, not from Deshaun.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. And at some point –
And by the way, Deshaun is one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL is just sitting there every day while everybody else is playing.
I think Deshaun will also get his little get work on – groin, no, I shouldn't say it. Get work on hamstring or knee or whatever.
He's going to get massages during practice?
I think we're overstating what it's going to just be. He's going to be a guy that at some point you put on the injured list and it's over. Deshaun's going to come up with an injury. It's injury list. Deshaun, you can get paid. You can just go home. It's that simple. That's how you solve
this. This is the worst case scenario for the Texans because dude gets what he wants, healthy, gets paid, showed up, so he gets paid. You don't get to play him because I'm not playing for you. I don't want to play for you. I'm not going to do it. So you got the worst case scenario is after you've given this dude $27 million as a signing bonus, now you're going to pay him his $10 million salary this year. And he is just going to sit and win, win, win. This is all you do is win, win, win. Deshaun Watson. This is a lose, lose, lose for the Texans. And, not that they don't deserve it with how dumb they are, but it cannot be a worse scenario where the league won't act and put him on the exempt list so he's not embarrassing the organization, so it doesn't make it as uncomfortable as it is, and you just have to sit there and pay him and watch him sit there and watch all the other guys play. Or send him home with a fake injury.
Yeah. Everyone's known this is going to be a game of chicken.
Guess what?
Guess
what? The Texans are the ones.
The Texans say, no, we're not sending you home with a fake. You're going to have to deal with it. We'll be fine. We're going to have most of our players are on short-term contracts anyway. You're not going to bother us. The local media, and I got news for you. Nobody's going to control the local media quite like Nick Caserio and the Texans. It's already happened. You're going to be very limited on what you can ask. These are the limitations that you have for going to practice. This is where you can stand. This is how long you have. We're not making Deshaun Watson available. They don't have to make Deshaun Watson available in their post-practice conference. You don't get free reign to go over and interview players in Houston. They haven't done that for several years.
No, but you have to make a guy available once a week.
Yeah.
He has to be available.
I think the Texans would be, if it's a difference between taking a lesser package or getting a much greater draft package, they'll take the former. They'll take the latter. They'll just take the best package they can. A smart team.
What a horse bleep precedent for the NFL.
But you knew
a guy who has not played a down of his extension, not one down of his contract extension.
Yes, yeah,
is going to hold a gun to your head, and you are going to blink.
This is bad. Well. Only if the Texans blink. The Texans really don't have.
No, trading him away is blinking.
It's trading him away right now for less is absolutely blinking.
Well,
it's giving him what he wants.
He's getting what he wants. It doesn't matter what you trade him for. You blinked because you traded him. You signed him to a big extension, and he didn't play a down for you, and he forced you to trade him.
Well, yeah, this is always going to be the case, though.
Well, guess what? It's a horrible.
It's just upon you now.
Horrible example, a precedent for the
league. It's an absolutely atrocious example, but it's also why the Texans cannot blink with what they're demanding for Deshaun. If they're going to be put into this position where it's unbelievable to me that they have to give up a $27 million signing bonus, and that's it. And the guy doesn't even have to play for it.
Yeah.
He just gets $27 million free.
Just gets it.
And so it's a really, really bad situation. But if he sits out, then the Texans don't have to pay him. Well, he's trying to come into camp. That's why the Texans, listen, if I'm on Deshaun's side, I would tell him, go into camp. I would 100% say, you can't just give away your money. Go in there because you know the Texans aren't going to really do anything. There's nothing they could do. And if you're Nick Caserio, I would tell, if I was on Nick Caserio's side, I would say, listen, you got to make this as uncomfortable for Deshaun, or you just go about your day, and Deshaun is irrelevant. You don't trade him until you get the most, and don't go out of your way to. Why would you go out of your way to make Deshaun happy if you're the Texans? You're already giving him free money. Why would you? He's already got a no trade clause. You
making guys him stupidly, happy. How about this? How about okay? Starting today, Deshaun, you're a starting quarterback. Go get in there. Get the reps. Let's go, Deshaun. You're here. Guess who's our best quarterback? Deshaun. How about Deshaun all of a sudden is, okay, you said all that stuff, Deshaun, but guess what? You're a Texan. You're a quarterback.
Giving him one reps where Deshaun's got to actually. Now, if you really want to make him uncomfortable, you're right. You split one reps with him and Tyrod Taylor. Now, what you risk is pissing off Tyrod Taylor. But what you could do early in camp is force Deshaun into a position where he's got to actually perform and play, and he'll get people buzzing. Maybe you want to play him and just create some buzz around the league where people are like, you know what?
Let's
whip up our offer right now. If you're right, that's the best case scenario. It's not setting him off fourth string and having him do anything. It's forcing him to actually go through practice. And if he looks really, really bad, you just say, look, you're making it harder to trade you. We're not going to be able to. I don't know, because if Deshaun's not the kind of guy that's just going to jake it.
No, he's not going to jake it.
That's not his personality. He's competitive. He just doesn't want to be here. This is a really, really interesting. I would care more either emotionally. If I already understand that Deshaun's not going to be a Texan, so I'm done with that. I don't. Okay, so he's not going to be a Texan. So now I just want to see what happens, because I'm already invested in next year's draft, where the Texans are not going to be very good. They're going to get a high draft pick. And I'm excited by the potential of multiple first-round picks and players for Deshaun Watson. Mm-hmm. I'm like, oh. So I've already moved on to that. So now I'm just kind of watching this as an outside observer. This is like a Netflix series with a super boring cast of characters, like Jack Easterby and Cal and Nick Caserio. Really, and even Deshaun to an extent. Really boring cast that I'm watching on Netflix, but it's like 6 episodes, so I'll get through this short series. There's not going to be a season 2 on Netflix of the Texans, you know, docuseries. So I'll watch these 6 to 8 episodes. That's fine. It'll be fairly boring, but you're going to have some things. It'll be like the Rams on Hard Knocks. Boring, but every once in a while you have a little something to watch.
Mm-hmm. All right.
What about Texans Hard Knocks? It would have been interesting this year.
Oh, well, whatever.
With Anthony Miller coming in, the new wide receiver.
Yeah, let's. How about we get to the new acquisition?
How about we get to the new guy before we get to SEC guy, because SEC guy's coming up at 8:30. We got Anthony Miller, the wide receiver from Memphis via the Chicago Bears, is a Houston Texan.
And I think you're underplaying some of the characters on the Texan Netflix show, because you would imagine one of them is doing coke. When you talk about, because how is the rest of the league going to respond to, yes, I know our quarterback is under investigation for multiple sexual assaults and then some other inappropriate stuff, but can you give us 5 high draft picks plus 2 of your starters? That's what we're looking for.
No. That's good content.
Is the guy who drew up that particular standard before as for that trade doing drugs or what?
Anthony Miller swapping late round picks for a second rounder. Anthony Miller, who averages 7.3 yards per target. Wow.
Yeah, but that was Mitch Trubisky throwing the football. Wait till Tyrod Taylor starts throwing the ball.
Oh, yeah, that's right. 11.7 per receptions. He's got 134 catches in 3 years with Chicago. So here comes Anthony Miller to save the day. I mean, you talk about a wide receiver.
The Houston.
By the
Texans,
way, the wide receiver core.
We'll look at the wide
ranked
receiver
the core. Last in the league.
We'll look at the wide receiver core coming up. We'll spell it all out for you.
On the other side, right now though, we're talking about Cars for Kids.
Cars for Kids is an organization. That's why they're carsforkids.org. They're an organization that helps people, helps young people have a second chance at a diploma. And listen. It's very valuable for them to have that opportunity to move forward and get that chance at getting a jump start in life. And that's what Cars for Kids is able to do with your help financially. And this is how they do it. They will take your car, your truck, your motorcycle, running or not running. And if you're going to give it to them for a tax write-off, they understand that it may not be in great shape, but they want to come haul it away and they want to give you the tax write-off for that. So you can write off the car and not the kid. That's their motto, and they have been doing this for years, and Houston Can Academy is going to be the beneficiary. But Cars for Kids does a great job, and they make it super easy for you by doing the haul-off service absolutely free. They make everything so seamless for you. Go to the website carsforkids.org and find out for yourself how you can write off the car and not the kid.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, it's 817-7378-03776. SEC guy joins us at the bottom of the hour here, just 13 minutes from now. So that's something you don't want to miss. We'll find out what he thinks about. I mean, he's got to be excited about UT and OU coming into the SEC. got to be excited. Everybody's excited. Having a great program, two great programs like Texas and Oklahoma joining the SEC, making it actually a powerful conference now.
Finally, they can they can be powerful.
I
mentioned the Houston Texans. You called them the worst receiving corps in the world,
in the history of the world.
Okay, who said this? PFF, Football Outsiders. Okay. As you look it over, they may not be wrong. As you look this over, an intriguing combination of cast-offs and former actual players. Like, I'll give you an example. Dante Moncrief was a first-rounder. They have him as, right now, on their wide receiving core, they have 9, 10, 11, 12 wide receivers. Taywan Taylor was a second-rounder with the Tennessee Titans. I believe second-rounder. Taywan Taylor. Let me pull this up here. And Taywan Taylor was third pick. He was the third round pick, 72nd pick. Dante Moncrief was the he was also a third round pick out of Ole Miss for Indianapolis. But he was a starter. Like, he was a legitimate starter in the league for a little bit. Taywan Taylor there was some excitement about him coming out of Western Kentucky. Chris Moore is just kind of a special team specialist. Chris Conley was a starter for the Kansas City Chiefs. Another guy who was drafted in the third round, 76th pick by the Kansas City Chiefs. Tremendous workout warrior type guy. You have Randall Cobb, who was a once great wide receiver for Green Bay. No longer, but a once great wide receiver. You have Andre Roberts, who has been a quality wide receiver three and a good special teams return man. And he had Brandon Cooks. Now, Brandon Cooks is a wide receiver two in the league. Most people consider him like, you know what? That's not – or a really good wide receiver three or a solid wide receiver two, but who's a little undersized. For the Texans, he's wide receiver one. When you look over this, I see a bunch of guys – whose names, you know, you certainly recognize, who have played on other teams. Dante Moncrief, Chris Moore, Chris Conley, Kiki, Andre Roberts, Randall Cobb. I haven't even gotten to the second round pick, Nico Collins, Taywan Taylor. But they're all like wide receiver. They've got a bunch of wide receiver, and this includes Andre Roberts, frankly. Wide receiver fours, gunning for wide receiver two spots. Like, they don't even have legitimate wide receiver. They don't even have a legitimate wide receiver two on the roster, other than Brandon Cooks.
Well, Brandon Cooks is a wide receiver.
And he's got to be wide receiver one. So now you've got a bunch of, realistically, Moncrief is right now a washout in the league. He came from New England. That was the last place he was in. So,
By the way, if you can't make it in New England, that's like being a Texans cornerback that got cut last year. Boy, you can't be in the league anymore.
Taywan Taylor is on his 13th. He was drafted by Tennessee and 2017 in the third round. He was traded to Cleveland in 2019. He was waived by Cleveland in 2020. This is another one of these guys who is now vying for playing time. Chris Conley. I mean, he was in Jacksonville. They signed him as a free agent in 19. He played for 2 years, and that was it with Jacksonville. He was in Kansas City as a third round pick in 2015. He was out of there after his first contract was over. You just have a bunch of guys who are like wide receiver fours who you're going to have to try to put in at wide receiver two. It's not Randall Cobb anymore. I don't know who the second best wide receiver is on the team. And if it's Randall Cobb, then everything PFF said is 100% true. Who is your second best wide receiver on this team? Maybe it'll be the rookie, Nico Collins. Conley will step up.
No, I think it's got to be Nico Collins. It's got to be Nico Collins.
It might be Randall Cobb. That would be scary, but Nico is a rookie, and a lot of rookies don't really do a lot their first year.
No.
I mean, you look at this wide receiving core, and at first you say, oh, look at this, Kiki, you know, he's maybe this is the year, and Nico Collins, second-round pick, that's great. And, Chris Conley used to start for the Chiefs with you know, he had touchdowns thrown to him by Pat Mahomes, and, Randall Cobb. But when you really – Dante Moncrief. I remember when he played for the Colts. This is all old news. This group of guys is just that. They're just a group of guys.
Well, is it any different with the linebacker?
No.
I mean, the linebacking crew, look at the linebackers.
Not really. Yeah, you're right. It's Brandon Cook. The Brandon Cooks and linebacking core is Zach Cunningham.
Yeah. And Camu Grugier. And I mean, it is.
Former Patriot.
It's guy after guy.
Christian Kirksey.
That are just guys.
Yeah.
Just guys.
Jordan Jenkins didn't make it with, Jordan Jenkins, I want to say was a second round pick. He was that magic third round pick as well. He didn't end up making it with the, he was a 4-year, he was one of the guys I wrote up early on when I was doing draft write-ups. But, he's first contract and gone. He might have
Kirksey,
a chance to.
Pierre Lewis.
Yeah, it's just.
Hardy Nickerson.
Joe Thomas. It's just a group. Now it's better than the depth you had previously. I'll say this. The depth is much better.
Yeah. Well, when you got a bunch of.
But you don't have your dudes. You've just got a bunch of backups.
No dudes.
Your
no
team
dudes.
Is filled with backups.
Yeah. No dudes. Zero impact. But the only guy on the team that actually rates in the top five at any position is Laremy Tunsil. He's the only guy that rates in the top five of any position in the NFL. Nobody. And then the next guy is Brandon Cooks, who's, I don't know where he ranks. He doesn't rank wide receiver. Does Brandon Cooks rank?
Honestly, I think he's a really good wide receiver three. I'm not even sure that he's just a smaller guy, but he did have 1,000 yards receiving last year. I guess out of respect, he really needs to be considered.
Well, we'll see. That was with Deshaun, though.
A good number two, yeah.
That was with Deshaun.
Yeah, what is he with Tyrod Taylor?
Yeah. Let's get Ben in here. He wants to talk about Deshaun, and then we're going to get to SEC guy on the other side. What do you say, Ben?
Hey, guys. Quick question. Would it be better for the Texans to wait for Aaron Rodgers to get traded so that they could try to squeeze that a little bit more for Deshaun?
Could you say that again?
He wants to know if it'd be better for Aaron Rodgers to get traded first, and then you can squeeze out more for Deshaun. Maybe assuming, I don't know, Ben, are you assuming you create the marketplace with the whatever? Like, how would that have a direct impact?
Let's say right now Philly only wants to give up 3 firsts, but Aaron Rodgers gets traded for two firsts. Can't you just be like, Aaron Rodgers is like 36 years old, and you're getting a 26-year-old.
Okay,
well, not only that, but so there's two things there. First of all, Aaron Rodgers wants $45 million. He wants $90 million guaranteed over the next couple of years. That's one thing. Secondly, he is a lot older, and you're a lot more limited in how long he is going to be there, allegedly, because Deshaun might leave after his five. But you got Deshaun locked up right now for 5 more years. So that he is – now, Deshaun is even that out with the 22 lawsuits, obviously. But if you could make the argument that Deshaun is more attractive than Aaron Rodgers, if the suspension that he's going to catch,
I think he 100% is.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. I mean, you got Aaron Rodgers could possibly play about 4 more years. Yeah.
Maybe, but there's already him retiring is now the favorite in Vegas.
Yeah, but not if he's traded to another team.
He doesn't look like a player who's near the end.
No,
I'll say that
he's just MVP. So, no, but you could make the argument with Deshaun's contract, with his youth, that he is, and, his playing ability and escapability and all
this
stuff.
He's worth the picks that you will give up.
Yes.
Yeah.
And Aaron Rodgers, you don't know. Is he only going to be there for the 2 more years that he's got left on his deal, or is he going to I don't know. You could make the argument. I don't think you have to wait, though, for Aaron. I don't know if it's the same market. Do we hear Philadelphia talking about having to get Aaron Rodgers? Do we hear the Dolphins have it, and we heard Denver. We heard Aaron Rodgers to possibly Denver. We've heard that, but Denver is in a desperate situation with Drew Lock.
If you're not a team on the precipice of winning a title, can you make the move for Deshaun, considering how much it's going to take? Like, if you're giving up, let's say the Texans get 4 first rounders and 2 established players, a little less than what they're asking for, allegedly, according to Chris Mortensen. If you're not ready made to win, aren't you removing the possibility of getting there?
Well, if you're Philadelphia, though, you've got 3 already. 3, and let's say you just give up those 3, possibly 3, because you got you got the Wentz deal that could be a 2. But if you give up those 3 picks, the next year you're going to be right back in it.
If Philly is the team.
If Philly is the team.
But not everyone is situated
No, They're situated
They're uniquely yes. in the position.
But, I mean, not having first-round picks, Seattle has won for years without first-round picks.
Because they've had established players already.
Yeah.
If you're not, like I said, if you're not close, and they didn't have to pay the quarterback for a while, now they haven't.
And they're trading out of the back end of the first to avoid a five-year contract. I mean, they're just moving back 10, 15 spots. It's not as big a deal. When you have established quarterback, man, you can – when you have great defense and established quarterback, oh my gosh, life becomes easy. Like, the Texans are getting rid of established quarterback. This should have been, honestly, the work that Rick Smith did getting Deshaun in the door with that trade gave you the opportunity, and he was cheap for the first 4 years. It gave you the opportunity to build a roster around him and be smart with your money, and you blew it. You weren't smart with your money. You gave out bad contracts that we talked about ad nauseum. You traded away draft picks. You did everything you could to make Deshaun Watson's impact irrelevant. He had a great year and won 4 games last year.
Yeah.
That was through the horrific dealings of the front office / head coach. They made Deshaun Watson's season irrelevant.
Yeah. All right, 829 ESPN 97.5. SEC guy, Carol Cogslaughter, is going to be joining us on the other side right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. This is something you don't want to miss. Call your friends and call your neighbors and let them know about it. But right now, how about making a little trip and listen and bring friends and neighbors to Lafayette, Louisiana? It's just three and a half hours down the road, down I-10. I live there. I love Lafayette. It is awesome. The Cajun cuisine, the Cajun culture. It's just different, people. It is just awesome. The average hotel room is about $85 a night. This is a great little getaway, a 3-day, 4-day getaway for you to go and enjoy great food. It is one of the happiest cities. 7 nights a week, you've got music everywhere. You're close to Avery Island, where you could travel. Like, a nice little day trip to go see Tabasco. You could go travel to the Atchafalaya Basin. You can still get crawfish. You could get crawfish etouffee anywhere, and I'm telling you, it is fantastic. The restaurants are second to none. If you're a Cajun fan, it's just good, clean fun for the whole family. There's something for everybody. I love Lafayette. You'll love it too. I'm telling you, you can go visit the Acadiana Cultural Center in Lafayette, Louisiana, see what that's all about. You can go see the tree that you can see in St. Martinville where they landed. It's all at LafayetteTravel.com. You're looking for a great little getaway. Go see our friends, LafayetteTravel.com.
Get low when the whistle goes.
Wheel. Fun.
ESPN 97.5.
This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Erline.
All right, welcome back here, 832 on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Bringing in an old friend of the show. Haven't talked to him in a while, making his return to Houston radio, but this is huge, huge news, and you knew that the good doctor would want to weigh in on it, so we got a hold of him. Dr. Carol Cogslaughter joining us here, SEC guy on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Doc, how are you?
Well, number one, I would say friend of the show is a bit of a stretch. I would not say I was a friend of any of your shows, none of your programs, none of your video casts or your pod things, your blogs, and none of that stuff. So let's just get this straight. I'm not a friend of a show. I'm just here on the phone line.
Oh.
That's all it is.
I apologize.
None of this blogs. Well, what is this with? Ever since when I used to be on, they didn't have no blogs. They didn't have any of this kids unwrapping presents and looking at women's feet on the thing on the TV that you could, on the internet, where you could make money off of this subscription, and people put that on the NIL. What is going on with all college football? Yeah, just a lot of craziness is going out here with the internet has made everything just completely terrible, with fans can go on people's sites and tell people to, you know, do all this huzzle-buzzle with vegetables and fruit. That's just ridiculous. That's not what God intended the internet to be.
Well, I got you. Well, I apologize for overstepping, maybe calling you
friends.
A friend of the show. Yeah, you're not. We're not. No, I got you. We're not friends. I understand that. So, University of Texas and University of Oklahoma or Oklahoma yeah. University are going to the SEC. Now, all of a sudden, the SEC is an important league because you've got two powerhouses actually joining the conference.
Oh, well, I tell you what, you ain't lost it. You're just as funny. What a Jerry Clower of Houston Radio keeps it up. Well, you ain't lost a step since I've been talking to you last. Number one, we don't need anything. But listen, let's just get this straight right now. You ever played Pinochle against Curtis Strange, a spades, a hearts, or whatnot?
No, I'm a poker player. I'm a poker player, yeah.
Okay, Texas, that's right. Texas Hold'em. When you get those two cards and whatnot, you don't even get a full hand of cards, but whatever. Now, Texas Hold'em. Now, let me ask you this question here. If you had an opportunity, this is what makes me so mad about the Aggies. I get so fired up. That's why we had to tell them to shut their mouth. That's why we don't include them in conversations. I was in those conversations about bringing these two teams in. You know how come? Because when you're at the Smoothwater Country Club and you get done with a round and you see old Walter Whipple coming by with his big pockets full of cash and you know he can't play a single lick, who are you going to invite to the table? Walter Whipple? So that's what Texas is to us. That's what Oklahoma is to us. They're a big stack of cash, and they're the easiest marks at the table. So we say, well, come on. Well, you know what? You need to come on in and have some of this Southern hospitality. Now, well, look at this. We got, fudge bottom pecan pie for you. We're looking at Margene's Delicious Peach Cobbler. And we guss him up with some sweet tea and whatnot, get them all buttered up like we've been doing the last 6 months, because we want their big fat pockets sitting at the table because they're the easiest marks at the pinochle game. So we're going to empty out their pockets. So what you need to do, Texas A&M, is keep your mouth shut and know your place. Let us bring these old big fat wallets into the conference because they're the easiest marks in the world. Do you know Texas got beat by the Iowa States last year? That's that state second team program. That's not even real Iowa. That's Iowa State. And they got beat by them. So, listen, A&M needs to keep it quiet. But we'll be more than happy to bring Texas money in here because Steve Sarkisian is their head coach. Now take over for Mack Brown, I believe.
So, but Texas A&M, storied program that is an integral part of the SEC winning football, being fifth in the country,
listen,
bringing up the whole SEC last year with their football program.
Listen, here we go. See, let's really get to the scuzzlebutt on this thing here. You had at one point a Kevin Sumlin at the helm, and you gave him, you know, it wasn't good enough to give him one contract. You gave him three contracts, Aggie. I mean, he led the league in contracts. So, congratulations on being a forerunner of giving three contracts in 4 years. That was really some pretty good Texas A&M math going on right now. Now, number two, you couldn't recognize it, but that little squirrely quarterback you had, Johnny Manziel, was the reason that your head coach was winning. And as soon as he was gone, bye-bye wins. They all went away, didn't they? They all dried up. Then you got yourself a Jimbo. And I'm like, well, okay now. Texas A&M is kind of understanding how the SEC works. The first chance you get yourself a Jimbo, and you got a shot. And so Jimbo, what he's doing is really a great job over there. I've been very proud to see a Jimbo Fisher. What he's been able to do at Texas A&M. Y'all are able to beat up everybody, and then you catch 50 from us. That's pretty good. You know what? That's not bad. And let's see, who does Texas have as their head coach? Steve Sarkisian, a former Nick Saban coach, just like a Jimbo. And what does that equal? Nothing but losses. Kirby Smart, losses across the board. So, you know, Texas A&M, and let me say this on them too. You ain't never been at the Thanksgiving table for the adults. Never. the entire time you've been at the kids' table. And now we're just bringing in your cousins. They just look a little bit cleaner and nicer than you. They wear nicer clothes. So your cousins are coming in. It's the same way we do with Vanderbilt in Tennessee. Give you somebody to play with. Ole Miss and Mississippi. Can you get Ole Miss and Mississippi State so they have someone to play with? That's all we're doing. We're just giving you a play partner. Texas and Texas A&M will bring you a play partner back. We're tired of fooling with you. Arkansas, they're the middle child. We don't even think about them at all. So this is what you need to understand. We're pulling out the Ottomans. We're looking around at the kids' table like, well, how's Texas going to get a seat? A&M, get up. Give Texas your seat. Here you go, A&M. We found this Ottoman out in the living room or the parlor, and we're going to sit this down. You got to sit on the Ottoman to eat your mashed potatoes and turkey. That's what's going to happen, A&M. So get used to it. Keep your mouth shut. And, hey, Texas, welcome in. Oklahoma, we heard you are really a smart, clean, good-looking people who are well-dressed. What? I've seen pictures of them. Their haircuts look exactly like people we see in Alabama that aren't the good people but the bad people.
So 7 national titles coming your way with OU. Now, they have had 4 playoff appearances.
Wow.
They haven't won a game yet in the playoffs.
Oh, wow.
But they get there, okay? Lincoln Rock.
Now tell me how the golf team does. Tell me how the women's softball or the swim team does. Tell me how the ultimate frisbee challenge team does. That's what – do y'all understand that your conference, this is how bad it is. You had a team full of Baylor. You had – SMU, a Methodist team. And then Texas got beat by TCU, a Christian team. You basically got beat by Liberty. So it's not going to be the same. You can't beat people 63-59 in this conference. You can't go in here winning games 72-68. That's not what the SEC is. Now, our scores have gotten a tad higher since the last time we spoke. I will admit that. Well, listen. Let's just remember what we got here. Nobody could take a 5-star and make him a 3-star quicker than Texas. Y'all are real good at that. 5 minus 2 stars equal 3 stars. Congratulations. What we do is we take 5s and keep them 5s. We take a 4 and make them a 5. We don't even fiddle with a 3-star.
Okay, so hold on a second. Do you know who won the Director's Cup last year for all sports? University of Texas. That's right.
Is that pornography?
No, they got women's.
What?
They got men's diving, women's rowing.
Men don't dive.
Yeah, they dive, and
no
it's
one dives off of men. If you jump in, you do a cannonball or a can opener. Case closed.
No, you don't understand. The University of Texas is going to bring all sports to into prominence for the SEC.
Yeah, we don't have diving at all, but trust me on this one. Ain't nobody diving over to Florida. Tennessee don't dive.
Speaking of women's softball, you mentioned a little. How's Bucky doing? We haven't heard. What's going on there?
I think we lost a good doctor.
We lost the doctor?
She's hitched up. Next question.
Oh, she what?
What'd you say, Doc?
What'd you say, Doc?
I said she got hitched up. Next question.
Oh, she
what
got,
does this have to do with diving?
No, I'm asking. Well, oh, she got hitched up.
In a way, it does have to do with diving, but I
wait a minute.
Whoa. So wait.
What else now?
Well, she.
What's,
I just made
what's the name?
Pretty good joke.
What's his name? Did she marry?
Huh?
What's his name? She married. What's
what's the loving husband's name?
Yeah.
Augustus.
Augustine. Oh, we didn't see that coming. Augustine. Oh, well, congratulations
to
Bucky.
What's he do? You always want your daughter to be taken care of. What's Augustine do?
He's a banker.
A banker?
Oh, okay.
Or an engineer. I get them mixed up.
Yeah.
Or architect. One of those high-paying masculine things.
What pronoun does Augustine use?
A pronoun?
Yeah. We call them him, her,
what
them.
Pronoun you need a, hey, here's a pronoun for you. She, it. Put them together.
He hung up on you.
He got a little riled. She and it. It? I need to put that together?
She it.
Mm. That's from The Wire, too.
Huh. Huh. Well, there was a pronoun. Well, we didn't. I wanted to, I had a
you
lot
had more
questions. I wanted to find out how he likes Bill O'Brien so far. I wanted to find out how he's doing with the NIL. How he's doing paying players now actually above board as opposed to under the table at Smoothwater Country Club.
Sure,
that's what I wanted to know.
Sure, it hurts their recruiting efforts.
Yeah, and how Bill O'Brien is doing over there. All right? That dumbass. How you know, now Dr. Cogslaughter gets to actually hand cash the players as opposed to, you know, sneaking in parking lots and dark parking lots with briefcases.
Have you talked to him since the recent run of Alabama quarterbacks? Like, since Tua
Tua, Jalen, and Bryce?
He had Mac, so he's probably pretty thrilled.
I remember when he was going
after... He had Mac Jones. He had the other tall one. Kid that won.
I bet he likes Mac Jones.
Oh, yeah.
I remember when he went after Oregon about having a Hawaiian quarterback Marcus Mariota. And then he had his own Pacific Islander quarterback.
Well, we didn't get to talk to him because he got offended by Bucky.
Because Dell made him mad. You guys brought up Bucky and Dell made him mad.
I asked
tried
him
to combine pronouns on you.
I asked him about a pronoun. Why is that upsetting?
Because he didn't know anything. What did you mean pronoun?
She and it.
She and it. Yeah.
Is it a pronoun?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. It's a pronoun.
Yeah, it's a pronoun.
Wow. I had so much more to ask him about actually paying players legally now.
Maybe you shouldn't have transitioned to Bucky.
I just asked a question.
You know that's
and
the sense
speaking
of
transition.
You're the one that pissed him off, though.
Well, you transitioned. Pronouns. You should have asked, how's Bucky transitioning?
Oh.
Mm.
Wow.
Whoa.
That would have been an equally quick hang up.
845 ESPN, 97.5 and 92.5. Poor Texas caught it from Dr. Cogslaughter. We'll have to get back. We got a lot more questions.
That really turned into an A&M bashing session,
I know.
To be honest with you.
I know. Well, Texas got it, too, with their turning 5 stars into 3 stars.
Well, yeah, that's a thing we all know about. But the whole, they're not even at the table. We gotta tell you get up out of your seat to bring Texas along.
Texas gets A&M seat and have to sit on an ottoman?
Yeah.
That's not nice.
No. They got to sit at the kids' table now. They got to sit with Vanderbilt, Kentucky, and Missouri now. Congratulations.
And they probably don't like being called play cousins.
No.
Where they're bringing their cousin into play so they have somebody to occupy him.
All right, 8:46.
That's the number 5 team in the nation,
Nation. No respect.
And preseason, Texas is number 6 or 6-7 or something like that. So these are pretty highly rated teams. Now, to be fair, Texas usually is ranked much higher going in than they are coming out.
Coming out, yeah. Oh, well, not
pretty
you.
Much. Pretty much. How many straight years do you think that is?
Pretty much.
I don't recall a time where it's like, you know who ended up being much better than we thought? Texas. When is the last time you said that? Never under Charlie Strong. Ever under Tom Herman?
No.
What, the year they beat Georgia and they were back?
Yeah, but what were they ranked going in?
I have to remember the year.
Remember Texas's back year where I thought, when they beat DeShone Kizer, boy, I thought, Texas just beat Notre Dame. Holy crap. This is going to be a really good team.
Nah.
And DeShone Kizer.
It might have been the year they beat Georgia.
Folks. Maybe 2019.
Yeah, the Sugar Bowl. The Sugar Bowl win. 847 ESPN, 97.5 and 92.5. 713-780-3776 if you want to get in here.
ESPN, 97.5. This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back. 850 on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. 713-780-3776. Your Astros with the win and the sweep. And now head to Seattle to start. This is going to be good. 9 games against teams that are, or is it 8 games? Teams that are pretty damn good. Seattle, the Giants, and then the Dodgers. So you got, yeah, it's 8 games, 3 in Seattle, 3 in San Francisco, and then 2 in Los Angeles. McCullers and Odorizzi, unfortunately, Odorizzi, obviously the weak link in this rotation. Fromber's got to pick it up as far as he's 6-2. He threw a no-hitter, by the way, but his control, it's, I don't know what the hell happened. He's got to go see his psychologist again. I tweeted out, did you see what I tweeted out, what Al Leiter and Ron Darling did on MLB TV about Luis Garcia?
No, I didn't see that.
Oh my gosh, I tweeted it out. Go to my Twitter feed. And you got it's a good 5 minutes, but they broke down Luis Garcia. Luis Garcia with his secondary pitches he's right up there with Jacob DeGrom. He's right up there with the top pitchers in baseball.
Wow.
Scherzer, DeGrom, he's like fourth on the list as far as secondary pitchers and outs that he's getting. He is and batting average against and swings and misses, and his secondary pitches are spectacular this year. What their point was, how as a young guy too, how he's moving, and these guys broke it down wonderfully. You got to watch this segment. He moves from against right-handers, he's on the right-hand side of the plate, and against left-handers, he moves over to the left side of the rubber. And he's able to move back and forth. A lot of guys don't want to move out of the same spot because they get comfortable. They know they got to hit the strike zone. But Garcia is moving back and forth on the rubber, and he's making it a lot more difficult for hitters to pick up the pitch, what kind of pitch it is, and where it's coming from. And, by the way, I have a feeling when there's nobody on base, his little movement, his little swaying that he does is not normal. And it's something that guys don't see. It throws rhythm off.
Did you get a chance to, did you watch with sound any of the broadcast yesterday?
I did not.
They had a tremendous, it was so interesting to my dad that he called me because he was watching a game and wanted to make sure I was seeing this. They went through the fielding independent pitching, the FIP. They went through ERAX, expected ERA. They went through a variety of analytics, the most important analytics. They had Jake Odorizzi talking about the three most important analytics numbers that he looks at. They had a graphic showing the difference between, you know, the FIP numbers for Fromber in 18 versus 20 and his ERA, his expected ERA. They looked at a ton of different stats. It was a really, really interesting broadcast where Jeff Blum really was, I mean, and Todd Kallas, but Jeff Blum was breaking down what each one of these analytics numbers means and why it's important. And they were really explaining it to the layperson in a very, very easy to consume way about, okay, in this particular number, it's based on, you know, we are basing it on what a pitcher can control, which is walks, strikeouts, and home runs allowed. And so that's what this number is. And this number is based on, you know, on this. And they did a really great job of showing the important analytics numbers that are being consumed by all the smart people in baseball now and all the teams, why it's important and explaining what it was. And that's the first time that I've ever seen a broadcast really lay it out inning by inning. It's like they had a new analytics number that they would show you, and they give you examples of it. They had graphics for it in the middle of the inning. I thought it was brilliant for them to do that because it really did a good job of explaining to the listener or the viewer what is important in baseball now. ERA is irrelevant. I don't want to say it's irrelevant, but it's not very relevant.
No, well, it doesn't.
In baseball now, just same way batting average is. ERA is not that relevant to what a team is looking at at all.
No. OPS is obviously taken over. It's a much better indicator of what kind of
hitter
you
are. Even beyond that, I mean,
I know. It's so complex, though. And so, you know, I mean, at some point, you can't really nerd out on all of this stuff. But, yeah.
Well, teams have to.
Well, yeah.
Yeah, teams are.
Yeah. Yeah.
So just so you know, their point is, look, this is how you, if you want to view, this is the stat that you look at if you want to view how guys are really hitting the ball. or how pitchers are really pitching. This is the number that teams look at to really get a feel for, okay, but how's he really hitting? How's he really pitching right now? And I thought it was very, very interesting to give that kind of insight into an entire fan base.
Yeah. 713-780-3776. Speaking of which, you know, we were talking about the hitter, and you talked about Carlos Correa getting down. Have you seen the Astros OPS numbers? And it, as we speak, now it's moved a little bit. Just not long ago, Correa was up near the top, but his 2-for-40 now has really destroyed that and brought him down. But he's still, how about this? He's still an 838 guy. Now, he hasn't been walking as much lately because he's been swinging a lot of pitches outside the zone. He's really been a mess at the plate.
Right.
It was good to see him get a single, and the other day he got a double. So, he's really, really 2-for-40, 41, whatever it is right now. He's really, really, he's a mess, and hopefully he gets better. But he's at 838. The Astros have six guys, starting with Yordan, six guys that are already eligible for the batting title because they have enough at bats. Yordan, Altuve, Brantley, Gurriel, Tucker, and Correa. Six guys that have OPSs from 866 to 838. 800 is a good hitter. 800 OPS is probably your measure, like 300 hitter. It's 800 is probably your measuring stick for you're a good major, a really good major league hitter. And like we talked about before, Lance Berkman's career OPS is 943, which is unbelievable for over 15 years. Unbelievable. That's Hall of Fame. It's better than Edgar Martinez, who is a Hall of Famer. And Lance Berkman was better than that. So over 800 is pretty damn good. You know how many of the Mariners have over 800 that is eligible for the batting title?
How many?
Two. One guy. Mitch Haniger. One guy. And the Astros have six.
Yeah.
From 866 to 838. That's the difference. That's how much better they are at hitting than this is a good baseball team, too. Kyle Seager is their second best hitter. His OPS is 703.
Are you serious?
Yeah. Excuse me. Ty France, their second baseman, 782. And then Kyle Seager, 703.
Well, that just goes to show you that they should not. I mean, they shouldn't lose very often to these teams who can't hit.
No. Well, but the Astros are extraordinary. Now, Jake Fraley has got 40 games played. He's got an 848 OPS, but he doesn't have enough to be eligible for the batting title. They've only got four guys, actually. Seattle does. Four guys that have enough at bats to be eligible for the batting title. Not any of them are going to challenge it, but that's how makeshift this team is. They're doing a hell of a job in Seattle. They're only a game and a half behind the A's now.
Mm-hmm.
And they're kicking ass. They just swept the A's to move to within a game and a half of them and playing really good baseball. So this is going to be a lot of fun. Unfortunately, all 9 o'clock games. Unfortunately, all late games over this next week, over these next eight games for the Astros in Seattle, in San Francisco, and at the Dodgers.
Well, your bats haven't been exactly wide awake, and they're not a great hitting team. You may get 2-hour games. You'll be out of there by 11:05.
No, this is where the Astros bats wake up. Surprisingly, this is the kind of competition that this team thrives on.
Lesser competition?
No.
How are you?
Greater competition.
So you're viewing Seattle as greater competition
than what you've been facing, than Texas? Yes.
Yeah, but Seattle's not a good team.
No, Seattle's a really good team. Seattle's playing great baseball right now.
They're playing good baseball now. I wouldn't call them a great team.
Well, they're only a game and a half behind the A's.
But they're not going to be a playoff team.
They're a game and a half out of the playoffs right now. A game and a half.
Let me see what these playoffs hold for us. I forget because you now have an extra.
They're a game and a half out of the playoffs right now. So, yeah, they could well be a playoff team. If the A's fall, the A's pitching, it's surprising that they're, you know, but guess what? Seattle took care of business. Now, they were one-run games, 4-3, 5-4. Right. They were tough games, but you know what? Who came out on top?
Yeah, I mean,
Seattle did.
I guess they're eight games over.
Yeah. No, it's a good baseball team.
I don't, but I can't do this with them. The Astros play good against, like, they play the level of their competition. Boston. Giants.
Yeah. Well, the Giants and the Dodgers are on this trip. Seattle.
Yeah.
You know what?
Like, I consider them at a different level. It is funny to, when you look at the stats and you see, you know, Astros have 61 wins. Seattle has 54. It didn't look, but I still can't put Seattle in that rise to the level of competition. But they're not a bad team, obviously. They do their run differential. What do you think the run differential is?
For Seattle?
Yeah.
Probably not great.
Where do you think it's ranked in the division?
Oh wow. Minus 52?
Yeah, they're fourth in the division.
Yeah.
I just have a hard time considering that their expected win-loss numbers, the Astros are 64, so they're behind that by three. Seattle's was 45 and 55, so they're way above it.
But here's the deal. Seattle at home is a different team. They're 11 games over 500. The Astros are 14 games over 500
at home. Hey, but look
at this.
Against teams over 500, Seattle 36 and 31. There's only two teams with a winning record in the division, and the Astros are one. Seattle's the other one. Mm-hmm. So you got to give them respect there.
Yep. Astros plus 144 run differential, which is second in the league to the Dodgers plus 146. Even the Giants with the best record, 62 and 37, are plus 120.
Well, if you, for some reason, wanted to drive to Seattle as opposed to flying there, how would you get there, John?
How would I get
Thanks
there?
Thanks for rescuing us from
Thank you.
Our baseball talk.
I would get there in my expedition from Chastain Ford. If you're looking for the best way to buy that vehicle, if you're looking for an expedition, this is a great time because you go to ChastainFord.com or you go to the dealership. You pick exactly what you want from those vehicles, and you customize it to exactly what you want. So you don't have to take the packages because, okay, leather, okay, obviously electric, air, and whatnot. You want the three seats, whatever. You want the sunroof. You want all of the extras that you can possibly get on your vehicle. Well, get exactly what you want. Don't get what the dealership has right now on the lot to offer. Get exactly what you want by ordering that vehicle and have it delivered exactly perfect, customized for what you want. This is happening every single day at Chastain Ford. You're looking for the best vehicle at the best price with the best service with the nicest people. I'm telling you, the best. It's all at Chastain Ford, ChastainFord.com. I'm telling you, I joined the Chastain family a while ago, and I can't be happier. I'm not going to shop anywhere else. ChastainFord.com. It's on 610 at Homestead, not Hempstead. It's just 5 minutes from downtown. You're looking for that vehicle? Order it through Chastain Ford.
Well, hello.
To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN.
Dial the phone.
Disappointed by your HR and payroll technology? Maybe you need to outsource your administration. Go to HRP.net to learn more.